30 minutes or so, absolutely no agenda, and working on the second glass of whatever. That's when the evening gets interesting, when the stories and thoughts just come, like a work week too full that tips over, and the pent-up laughter pours out. These are the unguarded thoughts and opinions, the anecdotes and antics, the conversations that just plain happen on a Thursday night, when you're two beers in. Now, here are the hosts of Two Beers In, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
Actually, the other... Well, it was the day before yesterday. It was so rainy and drizzly and miserable. And it occurred to me, I thought, wow, it's so miserable, I could be driving to Houston. It's like, cause it seems like every time I drive to Houston...
I was going to say, is that a thing of like, wow, it's really shitty outside. Time to go to Houston.
Might as well.
Every time I drive to Houston, I should keep that in mind when we're experiencing drought. It's kind of like, I'll fix this, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going
to Houston.
And I'm going to have a picnic.
Yes.
And I'm going to wash my car.
Right.
I'm going to wash my car.
Yeah, like I drove to Houston during Hurricane Harvey, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
And, oh, look, I'm three lanes over. How did that happen?
Suddenly, I'm three lanes over.
Oh, okay.
And you're listening to Two Beers In.
There's a duck swimming outside my car.
Wow. How are you doing that at 80? Oh, why are you going 80 in the rain?
Look, fishies.
Because why not?
What is happening? Am I Aquaman? Yes. I'm your host, Brett Weaver, one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. I'm enjoying a East Siders Brut.
Yes. On my recommendation, I'm Monica Ballard, your co-host for Two Beers In. And we're joined today, once again, by Andrew and Doug. Welcome. What are you having, Doug?
I'm having a Kung Fu robot. See, I said it, and everybody understands it. Fuck on.
All right, then.
How about you, Andrew?
Me, I'm having a 512 pecan porter.
Yes.
Mm. Is it pecan-y?
A little, yeah.
All right.
It's dark. It's tasty.
It's
pecan-y.
For Christmas, my manager at the company that I work for sent me a bottle of Shiner pecan beer. And I should... Wait, Let me do that one again.
Okay.
Let me do that one again.
All right.
Hey, you know, for Christmas,
yeah,
my manager sent me a bottle of Shiner Pecan beer and candy. And I asked him, see, I realized that I was like, why am I turning that down? But it was actually a nice thing to do, you know. Maybe I don't drink that beer, but that doesn't mean he didn't know that. So I reached out to him and I said, so I got your present. He's like, thank. He goes, good. I go, are you trying to ply me with liquor and candy? And he's like, what? I go, because it's working. It's totally working.
It's like me last night when you offered to drive me to a downtown bar. And I said, excuse me, I just don't take rides. I don't get people's cars. You said,
I have candy.
I said, okay.
This panel of Anabine is spacious.
Yes.
Wait, what?
Doug, don't make fun of me because I had... It wasn't a panel van.
The Prospector.
It was a Dodge Prospector van, and they called it the pedo-mobile, wasn't it?
Yep.
The pedo...
Oh, it's so much looked like it. Every time you got in there, it was like, I wonder if they ever found the body.
Yeah.
It was just horrifying.
There was shag carpeting.
Yes.
All right.
On the floor and the ceiling. And wood hooks to, well, it's supposed to be so you can put your coat on it.
They're tie downs.
But it worked really great for body parts.
Yeah, right.
With tying people up.
That car had a spectacular ending. Because
ran out of lollipops and you ditched it off.
When
the
I was
it a Thelma and Louise kind of ending?
But very close. But okay. Very close. So I'm driving. At that time, I was working in Galveston while living in West Houston, which was a 120 mile drive each day. and which also meant that I had to go through downtown. And was it 288?
Okay.
288. So I take I-10 to 288. No one except Houstonians care about this. So no one cares about this.
The number's important to a story.
Yes. Correct.
And so there's a little turnaround place, and here I am, and you have to come through the turnaround, and it really accelerate because a lot of people are going pretty fast on that spot. So
in Houston?
Yeah.
That stuns me.
What? They're driving fast.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm coming out of that little turn, and then I'm stepping on the gas, and I go, yippee! And actually, pieces of my transmission fell out the bottom of my car.
Of the van.
And
just littered the highway.
And I just pulled over to the side of the road.
Kind of got out and walked away.
As people were looking at me, I just kind of went like, sorry. And basically, I called the guy and said, that my mechanic. And he's like, there's no way you're going to fix that. I'm like, you want to buy my van? $300. That van did not exist anymore. And that's when I got my Jeep.
Oh.
Right after that. Only because our friend Val, I was going to get a motorcycle because I'd never bought a car. Like all my cars have been given to me up until that point.
Well...
Yes.
It's to be a gigolo.
Okay, wait. So let me back up. Let me back up and explain because your tune is about to change, all right? My first car was given to me by my sister, Simone, which was a 1960. It was a 1966 Dodge Dart with a hole in the floor.
Like a Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't even a cool Dodge Dart. It was, but it lasted for a while. And then I got a 1976 Plymouth Fury, two-door, eight-cylinder, from my same sister, because she was done with that. Then I lost that one in Nacogdoches when Doug and I were roommates because I was throwing the paper for him.
Oh, no.
And once again, the transmission fell out of that one, and I just parked it on the side of the road went back.
You left it on the cul-de-sac. I don't know if you know this, but the paper used to call me and said, is your friend never coming to get that car? I was like, yeah, I'll talk to him about that.
We never... The city was like, what do you want to do? I go, pick it up, take it away. I'm done with it. And then after that, I sang at my cousin's wedding. And and when we went after the wedding at the reception, he said, hey, come, my brother-in-law or cousin-in-law said, here, come out with me. Let's go talk. So we talk. And he goes, I really appreciate you singing at my wedding. He said, do you like these cars? And there was a Ford Prospector van, and there was a 67 Mustang. That both needed work.
Yeah.
But they ran.
Yeah.
And he goes, pick one. And I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, pick one. I'm like, well, I'll take the Mustang. He goes, pick again.
You chose poorly.
Pick again. I guess I'll...
Perhaps
take
I didn't
the,
explain
the
rules.
The Prospector van. So I got the Prospector van.
Right.
And then I started working in IT and actually making some money, which was weird. And so when the van went out, I was like, well, I guess I'll get a motorcycle because that's cheaper and I can afford that. And then Val was like, you make enough money that you could actually get a decent car. You know that. He's like, what would you get? And I was like, I don't know, a Jeep? I don't know. And so I did the research and found it, and that's how I got Kitty.
Aww.
And Kitty's the only, well, it was the first car, the only car right now. No, that's not right. That's not true. It is the first car that I ever paid all the way through, even though Doug had to help me at one point.
Aww.
But, yeah.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Doug. I cursed him every day when he was helping me.
I was pretty sure his girlfriend was going to leave him if he didn't get that straight.
Oh.
But she married me.
And so it was a happy ending.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sure. Sure.
Ta-da.
Sure, Doug.
I was also... You're stuck with her. Thank you. You're welcome.
Yay!
I was pretty sure he was going to leave me, but... like, I need my money back.
I bought a Chevette from a coworker of mine who bought it new.
It'll drive you crazy.
That's right.
The guy bought it brand new, so, you know, and I hung out with him, and I knew it, and so I knew it was a reliable car and all that. So when he got ready to buy something else, he said, do you want to buy the Chevette? Now, about 4 months before he made this decision, I was working in Martinsville, Virginia, or as I like to refer to it, the dark night of my soul.
Oh, jeez.
And he lived in Greensboro, which was about an hour and 20-minute drive outside of Martinsville. But I had to get out of Martinsville. Who wouldn't? And to come and party with my friends. And I had to be on the air later that night. So I had it all timed out as to when I had to leave Greensboro to head back up. Couldn't get too wild and crazy drunk or anything like that. And his clutch broke as we were out and about. And he was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And in the meantime, I'm looking at my watch going, yeah, oh, my God. Yes, way before Uber and stuff like that. And so he lifts up the hood. He goes, oh, God damn it, it's the clutch. And I said, well, what exactly is supposed to happen here? And he looks at me like, oh, you're such a girl. And I go, he says, when I step on the pedal at the driver's seat, it's supposed to engage this rod, which then flips this little switch here, and that's the clutch. And I said, so all we really need is something that will fit in there that will do that same job. And he said, what? I started thinking about it as a theater major. And so I went to a Napa store, and he said, what are you going to do, buy a clutch? You can't just go in there, buy a clutch, and install it. You just can't do that. I said, no. Go up to the counter, and I said, do you have any metal doweling? And they said, yeah. And I said, okay, well, show me what size. And he showed me the size. I said, that's too long. Do you have a hacksaw we can borrow? So, okay. And I said, okay, now I need some hose clamps. Bought some hose clamps. And we went out to the back, and I told Gary, I said, we need like about this length right here. We took a piece of paper and sort of measured it, made a mark, and cut the metal doweling, pulled it together with a hose clamp, dropped it down in there, and then he tried, you know, he went inside and it had to feel good.
Right.
So he says, no, it's too loose. So we cut some more, put him in there until it felt right. That fix stayed in that car. I bought it from him. We went through the same fix and dropped it in there, and I drove it for 3 more years in that condition.
Holy crap. I am in awe. This is the first person I know who got her car out of a hobby shop.
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing.
You did a
I was building a model airplane. I got a car out of it.
It's kind of like, you know, the curtain goes up at 8, and I need for you to take me back to my car so I can drive back to go to work. We need to get this done now, and this is how we're going to fix it. And I sold the car. I traded the car in when I bought my Toyota SR5, and I said, I've got this 1979 Chevette. It's had one owner since me, and it's still got pretty good miles on it. He goes, well, let me take it for a spin. Drove it around the block, came back, says, runs great. I took the trade in, we signed the papers, I drove away with my car. And it was one of those places where, you know, they take your car to the certification.
Right.
You know that mechanic lifted up that hood and said, what the fuck is that?
He's got Mickey Mouse ears on it. How did that happen?
I wish I could have just been in the corner, fly on the wall, watching that mechanic.
Wait a minute. Is that baling wire and bubble gum?
Are those
popsicle
hose
sticks?
Clamps?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What's a Chevette?
Oh, I know. We're like, it'll drive you crazy. And he's like, what?
What is a Chevette?
Chevette. Drive you crazy?
Oh, SO5. Yes, what?
What?
I went to a dealership and my father bought a brand new Chevette. $6,000.
Yeah.
It was a while ago.
So, Doug. Tell us about
oh God We're not BMWing, are we?
No, no, this is good.
Thank fucking God.
I was pivoting from from cars to theater since she said there was a theater fix.
Oh.
And talk about being at the High School for the Performing and Visual Arts in Houston and doing tech work.
Well, actually, my most famous, last minute work was at Bel Air, believe it or not, I moved from HSPBA. And we ran out of jigsaws, and it was 4 in the morning, and we were not getting any more jigsaws. And
not at 4 in the morning,
It was not going to happen.
It's like, there's not an all-night jigsaw store, not even in Houston.
Not during that time.
No, definitely not. I mean,
now there is.
Probably good now. But, you know, we had taken jigsaws and broken them so much that we had figured out how to, like, pry them and push them in there and everything like that. We were done. So we started putting shovels up against the thing and using punches and karate chops to finish off the stage. I kid you not. Gouge a little mark in the paneling, try to make sure that it was a little weaker at that point, and then we would put something up against it to, like, hold the piece we want to stay in place, and we start just punching it, karate chopping it, and bam, bam, bam. A teacher would come in, look at it, and go, okay. I'm not going to. You're not talking about me trying to put the thing up on the ceiling, are you?
Well, what I remember is the one about the 2x4.
Okay. That was at HSPBA.
Yeah.
So this is my introduction to theater work at HSPBA. It's the Denny Theater. We spent $6 million building the Denny Theater. HSPBA, brand new school. I'm in there in the first full year that HSPBA High School is available. And the stage alone cost us $1 million. And the head tech theater guy looks at me and says, I need you to affix these things to the stage over there. Go. And I look at these little wood blocks. And I look at the stage that's worth $1 million. And I'm still an art student. I'm not a theater student yet. And I go, oh, there's no way I'm going to do this without fucking up the stage. It's not going to happen. So I hem and I haw for like 10 minutes, and I'm done. I have to go back. I'm like, how do you want me to affix this to the stage? He went, give me that. And he walks over to where he wants it, and he takes his giant nail, and he puts it in there and goes, bam, 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 like that. I now know how to do theater. Thank you. Bam, bam, bam. Fuck this $1 million
stage.
See,
I would have been the director going, you fucking did what?
Right. I mean,
because the teardown afterwards is going to be, it's not about the building. It's the teardown.
Yeah, how do
afterwards.
You get that out and everything?
Yeah.
I mean, I had so many questions. And he was like, yeah, screw your questions. No. Get it done.
Yeah. We got to get it done.
And boy, that get it done. That's kind of my motto at this point. Once I saw what he did there and how it worked,
like,
and everything, I'm
got
like,
it.
I'm on board. And never had another question about getting it done.
On the $1 million stage in the 80s.
I know. The 80s? I know, right? 80s. That would have been
Shut
80.
Up, Andrew.
Yeah.
I was. Yeah.
Shit, it would have been 84.
Shut up.
84. Wow. You would have been a freshman?
I was sophomore. Yeah. I graduated in 86.
And I graduated 85.
Nope, not going to. I guess dinosaurs roamed the earth.
I was starting
We were doing cave art. Yeah,
I wet myself at that time. Shut up, Andrew.
Yeah, I was potty training.
Wilma Flintstone was your TA.
She was the ingenue. She always got the parts.
That bitch.
Betty got the character roles.
Sure.
Jeez. And I had to wear the dinosaur costume.
But you know. It's 11.
At least I wasn't that bird playing the phonograph.
Yeah. It's 11.
No Dino.
Wait, what are you guys talking about?
Just get out.
Do we have a lighter? I want to set him on fire. Is that okay? Any questions? Any complaints? No? Good.
Right. I realize, that's funny.
The Flintstones was in syndication when I was young.
Sure, and
I saw it.
You know what? It was in syndication for us, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original show
Prime
was
60. Time.
I saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you see the cigarette commercials?
Sure.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So you saw the black and white ones before it got into prime time.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, plus my family didn't get a color television until 65.
Oh, yeah. So you may have seen the color
Something
ones
like
and
that.
Not known it.
And I remember, when that thing arrived. See, we lived in a basement, first floor, we lived in a three-story house. It was huge. It was a big, rambling, old house in Pennsylvania. And every Saturday morning, we had to clean house. That was it. We all had our chores. We cleaned house until about 1 o'clock. Then we had lunch. Then our dad took us down to the Sellville Theater, where we saw the 2 o'clock matinee or the 2:30 matinee. You know, when people get into a conversation about what cartoons they watched when they were growing up, I'm like, I was working.
Yeah.
I was working. But the day that the color television got delivered was a Saturday morning, and my parents allowed us to skip cleaning that day, and we just watched cartoons. All of us, the whole family, we just gathered around watching Deputy Dog and beggars can't be choosers.
No.
Roadrunner and, you know.
Something my sister said, and so she's a year and a half older than me, and something she remembered that I didn't, and it was like just the last time I was in Houston visiting my mom that she mentioned. She goes, "Do you remember about the paying the TV rental?" I'm like, "What? No, I remember going to 7-Eleven and getting vacuum tubes to replace in the TV itself." I was like, "But I don't remember." She goes,
"I know what a vacuum tube is."
She goes, "We used to." She goes, "We used to rent the TV from 7-Eleven." I was like, "I do not."
That was the thing.
As soon as she said that, I'm like, "No, oh shit, I remember now." I was like, "No, all I remember doing is going to 7-Eleven, buying cigarettes for my mom, making sure that the coffee was fresh, legs, eggs, pantyhose, and tampons." And so that's why with EK and I, all the hard work for me as a man was done by the time.
Yeah.
Because she was
up,
like,
growing up with sisters,
you know, because I'm like, "Hey, I'm going to the grocery stores. Do you need anything? Or, you know, she's like, "Yeah, well, I mean, what? What? Well, not a pads. Okay, I'll go get some more."
She's wings, like, no wings.
What?
Meaning.
Yeah, what do you want? Heavy flow? Are we talking about the maxis?
Yeah, right.
And she's like, "What?" I go,
"You want some wings?"
I go,
on
"Baby,
that?
Baby, it's just like toilet paper. You need
toilet
paper? It's all a thing. Yeah. I don't." She's like, "You are so evolved." I'm like, "No, I have three older sisters and a divorced mom. What do you think I was doing?" So yeah, legs, eggs, tampons, cigarettes. Terratons.
My mom smoked Terratons.
Terratons. And if the guy who was not Indian, he was a theology student at St. Mary's Seminary, saw me walking across the street at 5 years old.
He'd make a new pot of coffee.
He would make a new pot of coffee.
Wow.
Right, yeah.
Because I knew.
Yeah.
I would know.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And so while... He's like, "I just put a pot on when I walk in the door."
Yeah.
So I'd sit and read Richie Rich comics. Why Richie Rich? To this day, I'm like,
I don't know. As a young kid, I thought those were better written than most of the other ones. Even though they were formulaic, for some reason, they seemed more.
So you liked Richie Rich, too?
Yeah, I kind of did.
I mean, I wasn't a Harvey comics fan.
No, most of the Harvey
but
stuff
I like Richie
awful,
Rich.
But Richie Rich was kind of cool.
That was my
reason.
Comic book nerd. So then EK later was like, "You heard of this thing called the X-Men?" Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah.
Did they fight Richie Rich?
Yeah.
Because that was a crossover between Harvey and Marvel.
Yeah.
Harvel.
Wow.
Marvy.
Wow. Okay, now I want to see this happen.
Harvel.
A Harvey comics. A Harvey. It's a multiverse
Wolverine
crossover.
Versus Richie Rich.
Yeah.
Waited for it. You wanted it.
No, Logan's fighting Cadbury. That's what's happening.
I say so. Quit slicing me.
All
that
right,
is
Bob.
Not appropriate.
God, that's fantastic. Yeah, you're like, I have never.
I think we have a total title for this particular episode. Yeah.
It's like, is that the one with Macaulay Culkin?
No, yeah. Andrew shouldn't be here.
Just, you're like, and no.
Yeah, right.
So, tell me something. Did you read comics in your childhood?
No, I didn't. Not at all.
Did you watch cartoons?
I watched cartoons.
What was your jam?
But when I try, I don't remember the younger stuff. I had an older sister, so right. Like, I think she like Thundercats,
sure,
Batman the animated series,
fantastic,
Paul Dini,
the Rescue Rangers,
wow, sure,
what was the one with? There's Baloo and he flew the airplanes.
Oh, Tailspin. Tailspin. That's right.
That sort of stuff was what I really remember.
I'm not trying to get you to establish nerd cred or anything like that. I was just curious because we all have the things that we know, but I've actually never asked you what your thing was.
I was never into comics and it still actually doesn't resonate with me.
Or did you just not have access?
I guess I was never exposed to it. You know,
yeah, because that was kind of
nobody ever said, "Hey,
not.
Here's comics." You know,
until I was 11, I didn't have any exposure whatsoever. I know that's hard to believe.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
How many comics do you own now?
Fuck off. Like 55,000. Anyway.
He actually does.
Yes, literally. So I'm 11 years old. I'm on a plane to Tampa, Florida. And my parents have gone on ahead of me. I had an extra week of school. So the kid next to me has a Grape Ape comic.
Oh, Lord.
I remember the cartoon.
I'm bored out of my head. Super Friends, you know, that kind of stuff. And he says, "You want to read this?" And I read it. I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's kind of cool." And then the next year, I was supposed to go up to Toronto, Canada to visit with second cousins of mine, who I've never seen again and don't know how to get in contact with. And I said, okay, so comics. Let's go to the bookstore and get some comics. And in those comics, I found, you know, if you send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, we'll give you a catalog for even cheaper comics than the one you're staring at. I like that concept.
That was
good.
Denver?
What?
Was that Denver? No, not Denver.
Yeah, actually, believe it or not, the first comics I ever bought out of those was Mile High Comics.
Mile High Comics.
Chuck Rostenkowski, and it's in Denver, and it's a well-known comic retailer who found the Edgar Church comic load of old-time Golden Age comics. It's the biggest comic find in history. I knew none of this bullshit. I was 11 fucking years old. But I bought some Black Panther and Devil Dinosaur comics for 35 cents a piece.
I love that Black Panther is one of your
It was
first
my
comics.
Very first series.
Fantastic.
And I didn't get number one because it was 50 cents. That's
it's really
much.
Weird because Doug is so racist. He's such a white supremacist.
Fuck you, nigga.
Would you like some tiki torch fluid? Yeah. Lots of it.
Hey, we've got some. Okay. He's such a racist. And yet...
Yeah, right.
And yet Black Panther.
Black Panther.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I was a big fan of the Black Panther.
Which is weird because in college, even then, he was like, Wakanda forever. I'm like, what? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was amazing in its theory and terrible in its writing. It was just absolutely awfully written. But the theory craft was amazing. And, you know, eventually the writing caught up with the theory craft.
Yeah.
And we got a great movie out of it. And I always said that one of the things I really liked as secondary characters was Wonder Woman and Black Panther in terms of these could be great, but most people just fumble them.
Right.
They fumble them hard.
Yeah.
My Wonder Woman is a 7-foot tall Amazon that's trying to hide as a secretary, and nobody believes it. Yeah. And nobody
it's kind of
bullying.
Like She-Hulk, kind of like how right. She-Hulk, we're like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like... I am just Diana Prince,
She-Hulk?
And yeah, this whatever. We need faxes, I'll get those.
Yeah.
You know? And the same thing with.
I take
Black
dictation.
Panther.
They're like, nope.
Nope. No. I would love to see that kind of stuff. But seeing a great Wonder Woman film and a great Black Panther film 30 years after I first thought, hey, you know what would be really cool? These secondary characters? That was pretty cool.
Doug came out of the theater with his hands above his fist.
Hey-oh. Oh, look at Whitey. What's he doing?
It was like me. It was like me in Star Wars.
He's Wakanda like, forever. Stop it, Whitey.
Don't do that, white guy.
Just asking for it.
I was a huge fan. I really was. It was one of my early things. I love the theory craft. But I got to admit, comic by comic, it was awful.
Yeah.
It only lasted 9 issues, and there's a reason.
Yeah. You're like, ugh. Yeah. But I'll keep reading.
It's a great theory. Nah. Execution was neat.
Was that
Ditko?
Which
is why they're so cheap.
What? Was that Ditko that did that?
No, it was Kirby. Jack Kirby.
Jack Kirby's like, that's all I got. I'm sorry.
Jack Kirby helped out with the original incarnation in like 66, which I, again, knew nothing about.
Right.
When they created the comic, it came out probably 74 or 75, something like that. But I'm buying these by like 79. So they've been sitting around for 6 years and nobody's been buying them. So they're really cheap and in perfect condition.
So I can safely say that we've broken the pop culture.
No,
if we're going to break it, let's just break it. Guess what? Politics is next. Here we go.
See, but no, it makes sense to me why people, because when I go and see those movies, I'm like, it's all right.
Right.
But it doesn't like.
Resonate
your soul,
and and it makes sense to me that people who have read the comics and have an attachment to it, how that like can
if they don't fumble the characters, you're on board.
So since we've destroyed the premise of our show, I'm just gonna say right now that everybody who's listening to my voice, all 9 of you. Should
it's only 8 now.
Should
remember?
Be watching.
You lost Val.
God damn it! Should be watching Into the Spider-Verse. I'm telling you.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
You
but
need to see it multiple
it
times.
It is the only Marvel movie that I have been interested, like actually actively interested.
So
in, like,
much,
like,
so much of an amazing movie.
Yeah,
it is. I mean. Like, it's a game changer.
It really is amazing because it's layered,
amazing,
it's interesting, right. It moves, you like the characters, you like the development, and it's so dorky looking and much more
and
than you really think.
But there's a it's grounded in some kind of honesty that's there too. So like, there's incredible scenes that are done just like a comic book, and you're like, oh my God, this is like the comic book. Yet the characters are voiced in a way that's not goofy. It's not silly at all.
No.
It's very honest. And, like, as I'm watching this, as a voice actor, I'm watching this going, that's the fucking thing that I've been talking about this whole time. I'm saying, in anime, we could do it this way.
Yeah.
It is possible. There's a thing where you can go heightened, and it doesn't have to be... It's heightened but not ridiculous to where we're screaming or pouting all the time. Instead that there's something that's going on there. And I was like, I wish I was like, and so when I saw it, I'm like, that's why I'm still doing this, because I want to do that.
And it's so tough because you see how they cut together trailers and stuff like that, and they did it for that, you know, quick little funny thing, which doesn't tell you how the story goes at all.
Which I'm happy about. Which,
and
I appreciate that.
Can't really see how they would get you the feeling of, hey, there's some real development here and some real characters, and you're really going to like things like Doc Octopus you don't see coming. And
right.
There's some really cool stuff here. You're really going to enjoy this.
Yes.
So in a case where the voice actors are doing natural stuff, does that come first or do the images come first?
Usually in American, they do the voices first.
Yep.
They used to kind of try to do it the other way around, mm-hmm. and I think that Robin Williams broke them with Aladdin. They had actually drawn a bunch of Aladdin, and Robin Williams got on the mic and started riffing. And they had to redraw a lot of stuff.
Well, and really, speaking, this is one of those like, oh, wow, I actually am a person who understands this stuff and is... that most of the Japanese stuff was always dubbed.
Yeah,
so it was not prelay. There was no prelay,
right.
Except for a few exceptions.
Yeah,
you've got your Miyazaki films, so like Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away, all of those are, they record ahead of time. So then that way you actually can look at it and see them mouthing, you know, drawn to mouth the words, not just open and close. And then also, yeah, like the ones that are really groundbreaking are usually done with prelay. And
what do you, explain that. What do you mean by that?
Prelay means that they record first.
Okay.
And then they have the
animators match up.
Make it work.
Well, okay.
Like many times at conventions, for me, when I'm talking about this, everybody's like, we like dubbed stuff better than sub, or
we
subs.
Like sub better than dubs.
Subtitled stuff is better than dubbed stuff. And I was like, and my thing that I used to hammer home is, hey, it's all dubbed.
Yeah.
Even the Japanese is dubbed.
Yeah.
And then I would go further. I was like, in fact, I think the best dub is only me. I was like, me only, it should only be me, including doing the music. I should be the one singing the music in the background. That's the best dub that's
if
out there.
If anybody in this place disagrees with me, stand on that trap door over there.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Right. Wait,
right
what?
Over, right
you
over
have to agree with
see
everything
where the
that
X is?
Yes.
Right there.
You have to
right
agree
there
with everything I'm saying because we know it's true. I don't care who's standing, other voice actors, I'm the best.
And they say actors have egos.
Yeah.
I don't know where they get
you're
that.
You're the best.
Yeah.
I am the best.
Right.
I'm very happy that somebody shared with me a picture recently of me with Speed Racer and Trixie, which is Corrine Orr and Peter Fernandez, and George Lowe, Space Ghost.
Yes.
It's a great picture that I didn't know was still around. Like, and he's like, hey, here. And it's hilarious because...
You look so stunned.
Yes.
You're just kind of like... I can't believe I'm here.
I can't believe these people.
I can't believe I'm in the company of these people.
But the best thing about it was I made George Lowe laugh. That's how we're now friends. And then Peter, I think he just enjoyed destroying me because each time, like I said, we're way past. This is the destroying pop culture episode. I'm just saying now. This is what
smash,
this is.
Pop
because I'm going to try not to. We'll try to only do this maybe once every year. But
yeah.
Is that a goal?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Peter,
that was a smart goal.
What was great is Peter, who's the voice of Speed Racer in the original Speed Racer. Mm-hmm. But so I only knew him from that, and then he also did a show called Courage the Cowardly Dog. Which is also the 90s.
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, Nickelodeon.
Before he passed.
I've seen it, yeah.
And so when we met, I was just like, you're fucking Speed Racer. Oh, shit. And Corrine was Trixie and also Snuggles Fabric Softener Bear. And I was like, even that's fucking awesome.
You did the best toilet paper.
She was the best.
I know
she was
the Snuggles fabric softener bag.
Yeah.
Can you imagine walking into the studio
know,
and going,
I don't know Speed Racer by
the
Snuggles.
Racer, but,
all right, so what are we doing today?
What are we doing today?
What are we doing today? It's the Snuggles.
Yeah.
Soft.
So Peter and I are talking, and I think we're doing a panel. I don't remember all of it, but he was, no, I think he only told me this when no one else was around. And so he's like, yeah, so there was a, you know, after, while I was doing dubbing for Speed Racer, we were trying to figure it out, and that's why the voice was so fast. That's why, because we thought we were supposed to match, and it was talking so fast. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And he goes, yeah, but also during the same time, I was doing Swedish porn, dubbing Swedish porn. I'm like, wait a minute.
Wait,
hold on.
Tap the brakes.
He goes, well, you know that the porn at the time in the 60s was all from Sweden. And and he's like, and so we were dubbing
it. I didn't know that.
I was like, yeah, well, I mean.
Now it's I do.
I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. And like, pork. Yeah. My mind's blown, right? And then he was like, and then of course we're enjoying imbibing, and he goes, well, you know, I was, I helped change New York City law. I was like, really? And he goes, yeah. I had 400 traffic tickets from 1 year. I'm like, wait. What? And he's like, well, when I go to the dubbing studio, I'd have to double park twice a day because we'd go to lunch and come back. And, you know, I didn't have time. And so they would ticket my car. I was like, is that 1 year's? We have 400 tickets. And so they arrested me. I was like, Peter, what? What? And he's like, yeah, but the problem was they never actually caught me parking the car, so I couldn't be arrested because even though it was my car, they never saw that I was the one doing it. So they had to change the law to booting the car instead of arresting the person. I was like,
he was too fast for them, as though he were a speed
racer. Yeah.
Weird.
So each time that he would say that, I would just be like, hey, he'd tell a story. I'd be like, no, you were the guy I remember from when I peeled shrimp in my mom's restaurant. We'd watch Speed Racer. Don't. No.
Check the trunk. They're in the trunk.
Go Speed Racer. When I was growing up, I even knew that Clutch Cargo sucked. I mean, I must have been 5-6 years old.
I agree with you.
And I was sitting there watching it going, I didn't have a 5-year-old word for sucks.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, this is really
bad. It's bad, yeah.
This is really bad.
So now you need to tell Andrew what Clutch Cargo was.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a type of luggage.
All right, for one thing, worst theme song ever.
Yes.
Oh, I'll Google it when I get home.
Oh, you will. You're in for a treat.
It was terrible. It sounded like it was played on a Peruvian flute of some kind.
This is funny.
And it had drawings, but then they would somehow work in human lips.
Yes.
It was just
so
awful.
Like Angry
just
Orange.
Like so you know, like lips? You know, like Conan when he's got people on. You know, like when he had Clinton
they put
on.
The, yeah.
And they put was a little bit like that.
Huh. Yeah.
Except it was cartoon.
It was cartoons.
I mean, drawn characters and then human lips.
Yeah, it was just creepy. It was creepy to look at. It was the stuff of 5-year-old nightmares.
Yes.
Along with the theme song.
Yeah. Real quick, the two best cartoon theme songs.
The Bugs Bunny open.
Okay. I disagree, but keep going. Second one.
Like I said, I didn't grow up with cartoons, so I don't...
Johnny Quest.
Okay.
The best. Second best for me, Top Cat. Yeah.
I like Top Cat.
Top Cat's a great
song. See, I got away with watching Top Cat because Top Cat was featured on Captain Kangaroo.
Yes.
Which I was allowed to watch before school.
Captain Kangaroo was
I saw one episode of that recently on one of like the, you know, like if you get, if you get like over the air antenna.
Right.
There's like some weird channels.
Yeah.
And Captain Kangaroo is on. And I was like, I wonder what this is like. And I was really weirded out by the whole thing.
Captain Kangaroo. So here's my big three. Captain Kangaroo.
Soupy Sales?
No. Oh, my God.
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood Electric Company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those were my three. Then right after that was Zoom.
Zoom. We got Zoom, a Zoom.
Zoom, 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 Zoom. What was great about Zoom, is I thought all kids that were actors had Boston accents.
Right.
I have no idea what
because in all of it, so Zoom was done at WGBN.
We had to show EK what it was.
In Boston.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, EK does this too, where she's like, will you just fucking stop? Because Zoom was a show in the 70s where kids would talk about their feelings, and they were Boston kids.
Yeah.
And so just so all of them were very much like, hey, we're going to go down to the block. And you're like, I guess that's how they talk. You know, I didn't talk.
And there was Doug.
Yeah.
And what was the girl's name?
I don't remember.
God, I don't remember remember the girl's name, but there was Henrietta Hippo.
Yes.
That sounds slightly
familiar. God, we could go down a rabbit hole.
I used to watch Mr. Rogers every day in college.
He's fantastic.
Because I was like, you know what? This makes me feel better.
That's a good dude.
Life. That's a good.
How about Great Space Coaster? Did you ever watch that?
No, I didn't.
All Gnus is good Gnus with Gary Gnu. And that's another one that's fantastic.
It was like 3-2-1 Contact was big.
One that you need to look up
Contact.
Is the Hudson Brothers Show.
I don't know that one.
The Hudson Brothers Show was on when I was in college. And it was on Saturday mornings, but they had one particular character, which was an Australian explorer who had an emu puppet. So he had a fake arm around there and the emu puppet.
Sure.
And it would always attack him, and it was hilarious.
Yes.
So it was sort of a precursor to Pee-wee's Playhouse or something like that.
Right.
But they were like the children Smothers Brothers.
Oh.
So,
he
Hudson
doesn't
brothers.
Even know who the Smothers Brothers are.
I do, because my parents used to watch reruns of the Smothers Brothers, and I did see
good.
It. And
it holds. I'm telling
Does
you right now, it holds up.
You're right.
Well, going through what we're going through now, it would be absolutely pertinent.
Was that the Nixon years?
To be what? Yes.
Was right at the beginning of the Nixon years.
Yeah.
So you guys were talking. So you asked me about cartoons, and I was thinking, because one of my favorite cartoons was an anime. I believe it was British and Japanese collaboration, and it was the Mysterious Cities of Gold from the mid '80s.
Wow!
Which is an amazing,
you
amazing
get some
cartoon.
Good, you know what?
That is the.
You are forgiven of all the bullshit that you usually say. Because the Mysterious Cities of Gold is a big one.
It is amazing. I own that one. That one was my favorite cartoon of the 80s.
Have your kid watch it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good man.
Yeah. She doesn't
Good
like
dad.
It very much.
Doesn't matter.
She'll get older
and fucking sit down and watch
grow
it.
She'll
grow
into
duct
it.
Tape. She likes it.
We try and we get through an episode or two. And
when she hits 13, it's Cowboy Bebop. I'm just telling you. and I met, which reminds me, I met I met Bo Billingsley. None of you guys know who this guy is. So it's not important.
I'm so impressed.
Great
wow.
story.
Yeah. I realized as I was bringing
way
it around,
cooler
going,
than us.
The wow. guy, hey, none hey, of you.
He'll leave the light on for you.
Yeah. We don't know who he is.
No. Someone who, you know, it like the people who I'm impressed with are usually people nobody else knows. That I'm like, and it's not like I'm too cool. It's just I go, that guy's cool.
You know,
cool.
Fred from the taco stand.
He was in Star Trek. He was in Star Trek in three different
three different roles,
including the Kelvin universe. So, in fact, where I'm watching
versions.
It, you know the one where the movie where Bendy Snoots, Cumberbatch, Bendy Snoots, plays
Khan.
Yes,
Khan.
Yeah, Into Darkness.
Well, you know when he's about to blow up, and there's the generals that are going. There's no way that he can.
Yeah, right.
That's Bo. Billingsley, who is in it. So, like, I'm like, oh, you, Bendy Snoots, you killed my friend.
Oh, now he's dead. Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
You know, my friend Cannon Fodder, the movie star. Wait, what?
Most British name ever.
It's like first name Cannon, last name Fodder.
Fodder. Cannon Fodder. You know what? We've gone over.
Oh,
no.
We got excited. We got excited.
Yeah, we
got
to stay away from the pop things because they're entertaining.
What did we learn?
We've learned.
And every now and then, foraying into pop culture.
I'm just really going to try to stay away from politics because seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We go on for hours.
Well, and everybody would be like, fuck you, click.
Yeah. Or it doesn't,
or they would
it doesn't
all love
date
us.
Well. You know, this kind of conversation
they'd troll
dates
us
well.
Yeah, all our Eisenhower jokes are way past that.
So I'm going to go through.
Like
this
guys.
Is what
How
I'm going to do.
How about that Kennedy guy?
Here's what I'm going to do.
I got big hopes for him. History.
I've got a military industrial complex. Yes.
Yes. It'll never happen.
Here's what
to the SALT treaty, everyone.
Yes.
Wait, who's
SALT
Eisenhower?
SALT
Who is Eisenhower? What are you
talking about? Where's that eject button? Give me.
I like Ike. Click.
This McCarthy chap. Here's what I'm going to do for this episode. I'm going to listen through, or you listen through, Monica. And
you're not going to make me the bad guy.
No, you're not going to be the bad guy.
Okay.
Just if you, when we write this, you give me the names of the stuff that we talk about, and I will, in the show notes, I will put links.
Oh, cool.
To the things that we're talking about.
Even the Clutch Cargo theme songs? Even, especially
it's
songs.
It's gotta special. Be. It's a special episode. It's like...
Just to creep everybody out.
Man,
with
you can
pick
all kinds of links from this one.
After school episode... Of two
a very special,
in.
A very special
yeah. after school episode of Two Beers In.
So we thank you for sticking with us on this. We're here at the Aristocrat Lounge on Burnett Road in Austin, Texas, every Thursday, and we record every other Thursday
when it's convenient.
Yes, and this year,
as long as the equipment works.
And this year, we're going to get 12 listeners. And
damn it,
we're going to move forward. And like we've had special guests, we'll have more special guests.
That's right.
And we want you to listen to us on either on iTunes or on Google Play or Stitcher
or your podcast
aggregator. Gator.
Gator.
Yes. And always remember, you have to use the number 2 for Two Beers In.
That's right.
Of course, we're at weightlesspod.com. You can actually catch us at twobeersinaustin.com or twobeersin.com. I'm like covering all the fucking bases. That's what I'm saying.
We're everywhere.
Search.
You will not escape.
We're everywhere.
Everywhere.
You will be
you
assimilated.
Would think that since we were everywhere, we would have more than 12 subscribers.
But they're 12 really good subscribers.
They're really passionate about us. I'm Monica Ballard, your co-host. I've been really enjoying the Austin East Sider Brut.
And I as well. And,
yeah.
But I'm not Monica Ballard. I'm
no,
Brent Weaver.
Not. No.
And
it's not your week.
And Doug and Andrew, what did you guys have?
I had a Kung Fu Robot.
I had a 512 Pecan Porter.
We're just doing
we're
it.
Not
which is on tap now. It's a great addition.
Robots?
What?
Robots.
Robots.
We will
watermelon, cantaloupe, watermelon.
We will talk at you next time on Two Beers In. Bye.